This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Today we'll be talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools, and we have the director, Trey Duke, with us, along with Lisa Trail, the communications director. How are both of y'all doing this morning?
Doing great.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Feels good out there for a change.
Oh, it so is nice. So nice.
Maybe it'll be this way come, tomorrow when school starts?
Mm-hmm. That's right. When kids are sitting up on that bus stop waiting for the bus to come pick them up, it'd be nice if this weather continued, for sure.
It would be. Now, tomorrow's school day, is that a full day, half day? What is that?
So tomorrow's a half day. Our students will be there regular pickup time in the morning, and then we'll end either 11:30 or 12:30, depending on whether or not you're a regular 2:30 or 3:30 dismissal day.
11 or 12.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lisa,
you're welcome
for correcting me on that.
Don't go ahead and pick them up at 11.
Yeah, pick them up at 11. But it's a great chance for students to come in. We had open house last night, so many of our students met their teachers for the first time. Parents got to walk through the building. But tomorrow will be that kind of first half day to get everyone acclimated for our first through sixth graders, get in the building, find their seats, get their supplies put away, and begin to think about what the great year ahead is going to have for us.
Now, when you look at all the different city schools that we have here, what different opening times do those schools have throughout the school year?
So you're either a 7:30 school or an 8:30 school. Or the only exception to that, is Discovery School, and it's 7:45.
7:30 would be tough for me, you know, not only as a kid, but as an adult for starting school.
Well, it's really, yeah, I get it. It would be hard on me too. But when you're like over Siegel is a 7:30 school, it's easier to go ahead and get your elementary students to school at 7:30 than to fight the high school traffic that is over there. So all of those schools it wasn't just randomly selected. It really was selected with a lot of that drive time in mind as well.
You know, it's interesting because you can really tell when school is back in session compared to when it's not. There's a lot more traffic out there when school is in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Same thing for MTSU. Yeah. You can tell when MTSU comes back and not. So
it's a great point, though. So just to remind all of our community members out there that buses will be rolling starting tomorrow. So make sure you pay attention, especially in those neighborhoods where you have cars parked on streets and stuff like that our buses will be going through. Please be looking out for our students with those backpacks on. They're going to be excited. They're going to be wanting to get on the bus. So we really need your help as citizens to kind of keep an eye out for that. And of course, don't forget that when our school buses stop, we need those cars to stop on both sides of the street as well. We don't want anyone getting a ticket for that, but ultimately it's about keeping our kids safe. So that school zones, you're gonna have to slow down in those school zones. So bear with us tomorrow, and just it's a great time for all of us as we transition back in this routine.
You know, I remember, you know, because I can't go through any school show without saying when I was a kid, and I would but I remember I would ride my bike to school some days. And do you still have a lot of kids that do that, ride bikes to school, walk to school?
Yeah, especially in some of our neighborhood schools, you'll see a lot of children riding to school. Overall Creek has a ton of bikes outside their doors. Hobgood has, actually, if I think about it, just about every school has bicycles outside their, they have bike sidewalks. A lot of walkers. So yes, you will still see that. If you're living close to your school, you're probably either biking or hiking.
Oh, I wasn't even close to the school. But back then, we had like 20,000 residents at the moment. You know, it was different. Less cars on the road and everything. But yeah, it is cool. When you're a kid, it makes you feel like you're older, you know, when you get to go to walk to school by yourself or ride your bike to school. And I'm sure kids still feel that same way.
Yeah, and they're excited, and it's just an exciting time of year. Like I said, we had a great open house last night. All of our schools were packed, and it's just exciting to see everyone back in the building and see those buildings come alive again.
So do you have a lot of new students this year who are coming into the school system for the first time from other areas, maybe not starting out for, you know, first grade or something, but maybe even coming in at third, fourth, fifth grade?
Well, I think we're always looking at our enrollment numbers. That's something we're going to be monitoring really closely the next few weeks. In fact, starting on Friday, we'll start having daily meetings to kind of look at our numbers, see where our kids are coming from. So registration's still going on, but until we actually get students in the seats both tomorrow and then our first full day on Friday, that's when we're really going to understand kind of where we are from an enrollment standpoint. But we know the city's growing. We know that we have a lot of non Murfreesboro natives coming into the Murfreesboro area. And so that's something we've seen happen, and I have no doubt it'll continue to happen again this year.
When students start with the city schools and they come here from other areas, are they usually fairly up to date and on the same level whenever they come here versus other school systems and how they did elsewhere?
Well, you know, every student's different, whether they come here from outside of our city or they were born here in the city. You know, our job as a school system is to meet them where they are and to get them to where they need to be. And so that's what we focus on for every child, regardless of where they come from. But I will say that's something that we've gotten really good at as a school system, is seeing where are our students academically, what is that next step for them, and do we have the services to put in place to make sure they get there. So we just want to respond to the needs of the students in our building. At the end of the day, we're going to be a stronger city when we have a really high education system that's moving every student forward, and that's something that we take really seriously.
You know, I may have asked this before, but what is the hardest grade level for a child? Because, you know, there's different ages that they go through in life, from puberty probably being one of the toughest, I guess, would that be like around sixth grade or so, fifth grade, I don't know. But what do you typically see as being that toughest year for most students?
You know, I think it changes depending on the child, because every child is different. I think kindergarten can be a tough year for some students, especially if they've never spent time in a preschool program or never had kind of that structured school setting. All of a sudden they're going 5 days a week, all day. That can be tough, but our kindergarten teachers do a fantastic job making kids feel loved and welcomed, and so that's fantastic. And then I'll say, you know, the last couple years, third grade has really become a pivotal year because of the third grade retention law, because of some of the state processes and requirements in place. I think sometimes there's a big emphasis on that grade, because if students don't meet certain benchmarks, there are things that have to be done. So that's really become a focus area for us as well, making sure we have the right supports in place in third grade. But again, every student's a little different, and I think it comes back to where their natural strengths are and how do we encourage them to grow.
And how many schools do we now have within the Murfreesboro City School System?
So we have 13 schools and 15 campuses.
13 schools, 15 campuses. Okay,
right. Mitchell-Nielsen has two campuses. Kaysen Lane has two campuses. But as far as the school number, it's 13.
And are there plans in place to build any additional schools in the near future?
Well, we just opened the annex for Reeves Rogers Elementary. We really try to look at what we have and to make sure we're using the best of our facilities. So if you look at our past history, you've seen that we've added on to Black Fox. We've added on to Hobgood a couple of times, Bradley, again, Reeves Rogers this year. So I think what we're trying to do is to utilize the facilities that we have to the best of our ability, and then watch where that growth comes from. So we're always looking for it. Westside was growing so fast for so long that we did open two schools pretty, you know, within 5 years. So Overall Creek and then Salem. We still watch that westward growth. We watch the growth over actually going towards Woodbury now. Black Fox is really seeing a lot of increases. So we work with our city and our city planners to make sure that we're watching where the hot spots of growth are and then plan appropriately.
I know over the years you always hear about different talks, trends of, you know, year-round school or, you know, additional classes during summer school, things like that. But have we had any talks about doing any type of year-round school program?
Well, if you were in our schools this year, you would think we have year-round, because we had 1,000 students in summer school in June. We had about 800 to 1,000 schools attending, 800 to 1,000 students attending daily at our ESP programs. So our schools actually don't close. There is someone in there moving. We do shut down a few schools every once in a while if we're doing a lot of painting or construction inside the school. Reeves Rogers was shut down over the summertime just so we could get it back open again. But those conversations kind of happened about 20 years ago. I think a lot of school districts tried it, including Murfreesboro City School, and then went back to that traditional school year, although it doesn't look the same. When you talk about when you were in school, the summer breaks are a little bit longer because that's, you know, it was done around an agriculture society. We don't really live in that agritarian society anymore. So what you see is us taking that full break for Thanksgiving, because we know a lot of our children and our families actually go away during Thanksgiving. They don't just go home. They go somewhere else. So they need that extra time. So Christmas or that winter break is a little bit more extended. extended. So you see us taking those extra breaks, fall break, Thanksgiving break, the winter break, the spring break, and spreading that out because that's what the families are wanting.
I tell people all the time, we get, you know, they talk about how short summer seems now, you know, even when I was in school, we didn't go back till the middle of end of August. And I remind people all the time, it's still 180 days.
Same amount of days.
180 days for a long time. We're just kind of structuring them different to give family those breaks throughout the year. But I think what we've found with our schedule right now is our families really appreciate having that extended, you know, 8 weeks off in the summer, and then having those breaks throughout the year as well.
Now, are there any big academic changes coming up for this school year? Any school subject changes? Any things like that?
No major changes for academically. I will say we have some new science materials we'll be adopting this year. The state went through the science curriculum adoption process last year, so we're excited to roll out some new science materials that were selected by our teachers with input from community members and parents. And so we're excited to roll that out. We're going to continue to stay focused on making sure our students, especially in elementary, have that really strong foundation of reading, of math, of science, and social studies, making sure they understand the world around them. And our teachers just do a fantastic job. The standards have changed. We are holding our students to a much higher standard than we did many years ago or several years ago with what we want them to do at certain grade levels. And it's a heavy lift for teachers. And, you know, we're not playing school. Our students are doing real work, reaching real standards, and our teachers do a great job helping them get there.
Over the years, have you seen a noticeable difference in what children are actually able to not only learn but retain compared to maybe when you first started in the school system?
You know, I go back to even when I was teaching, you know, I started teaching about, what, 21, 22 years ago. A lot of things when I was teaching fourth and fifth grade that we were asking students to do, we've really pushed down to that third grade or even second grade level. And so I think that's better preparing them. I always say, you know, education is a science, and we know about how students learn. And just like everything kind of evolves and grows with what we know. We know more about now how kids learn than we've ever known before. And so we're trying to put that science into practice to make sure that our students are retaining information so ultimately they're well prepared for whatever they choose, right? We know that some of our students are going to choose at high school to go to a four-year institution. Some are going to choose to go to trade school. Some are going to go straight into the workforce. Whatever they choose to be and whatever they choose to do, wherever that path is, we want to make sure they're prepared for that, so they have that choice and they can do those things. And we take that seriously, and that starts in kindergarten, first and second grade, having that really strong foundation.
You know, with technology changing every single day, every single minute, it's got to make it interesting, first of all, in the classroom, but second, it's got to be tough to kind of implement some of those changes into the classroom because you're teaching some technologies every single day, but keeping up with that and then keeping up with changes that maybe are mandates through the state, through their education system and what they're asking for teachers to do or how they should do something a certain way. But how do you keep up with all these changes?
Well, you know, I think technology is one of those things that's consistently evolving and growing. We all know that, and it's changing. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we're always trying to respond to it because it's progressing at such a speed that we're trying to keep up with it. I will say the state did pass a law this year, which you'll see implemented throughout the state of Tennessee, specifically around cell phones in the classroom and those personal devices, really putting some limits on that. We've had in our district for a long time the policy that students don't have cell phones out. They don't have those devices out unless specifically asked for by the teacher to do something. And now the law is kind of in our favor to back that up. And so I think you see across the state people recognizing that, yes, technology, we have to use it. We have to use it appropriately. But at the same time, there's a time and place for it. And sometimes the classroom or the school building may not be the most appropriate time for students to be on those devices. But as far as our teachers, we're constantly training our teachers. I was in a training just last week about how students can or how teachers can utilize AI appropriately in their classroom. Some of the tools we have as a district that we're not fighting against it. We just want to make sure we're using it and we're using those tools correctly to help teachers do their job, to help them know more about their students so they can respond appropriately.
Now, while I know using AI the incorrect way for some school students has really been a problem, I think for some high schools and college level, you know, students and whatnot, Have you seen any issues with that in that elementary level student?
Yeah, not right now in the elementary student are we seeing issues that we're having to adapt to. And I think that's because our teachers have done a really good job of putting those safeguards in place and thinking about their assignments in a way to make sure they know that they're actually getting student work and not auto-generated work or artificially generated work. So I think we are in a good place in our elementary school system as far as what our students were doing. Right now, our focus is on how do we help teachers use these really great tools appropriately to do their job better. We don't want to fight against it. We want to embrace it, and we want to, again, be better because of it.
And again, we're talking about the Murfreesboro City School System with schools starting back up tomorrow. Again, half day tomorrow, right?
Half day tomorrow. We are having, and it's for our first through sixth graders. So half day on Wednesday, first through sixth grade. We skip Thursday, and then we go back full day on Friday for those first through sixth graders. So that day between, we have lots of questions about that always. That allows us to see who is in our building, who actually registered, who came that wasn't registered, get our seat assignments ready, it allows the teachers to have time to figure out who's in their class, and then be prepared to teach, full-on teach on Friday. So that is that rationale behind it. You'll see it across districts across the nation. It's just a good day for us to have a reset and be able to go forward and actually, I mean, teaching will begin Friday, teaching will begin on Wednesday, but definitely on Friday, you're going to have a full day. Our kindergarten students begin next week. So there's a phase in for them. Again, kindergarten's really hard on parents, sometimes on the students, but we do that in the phase in. So the teachers only have half the class at one time, a little bit more one-on-one. They walk them through the school. They do lots of that exploring for that first day. So half day on Monday, half day on Tuesday, a half day for everyone on Wednesday, and then they come back to school for a full day. And you can expect kindergarten students for sure to be exhausted, but I would say any student that comes, like you've been off all summer and all of a sudden you go to school all day on Friday, that's gonna be a hard day. That's gonna be hard for all of us. Teachers be ready to have a nap, everybody will be ready for a nap.
What are some of the common questions that parents will ask this first 1 to 2 weeks of school?
We did a kindergarten Zoom with a lot of our kindergarten parents last week. And, you know, part of the things is just logistics. Where do I drop them off? What time is actually do I pick them up? How will I know what's going on in the classroom? All of those kind of things. They're just getting used to it. For our families who have been here with us for a while, they know a lot of routines. But every teacher has their own classroom routine. So I think the first couple of weeks, parents are just trying to figure out what are those classroom rules? What's the routine? What's the classroom communication going to look like? And they just want to know what's going on inside that 6-hour window in the classroom.
And probably the best thing we can tell our parents to do is go to our website, cityschools.net. All those logistical questions are going to be there. Our parent and student handbook is posted there. Mm-hmm. Information about school lunches and how you put money in your child's account is there. Bell times, a lot of that district-wide kind of logistical information is all right there, ready for families to access. And then, of course, reaching out to the school, talking to their teachers, sending those emails. We want parents to feel comfortable day one, especially our new kindergarten families who are dropping off their children for the first day. I still remember dropping my oldest off for kindergarten his first day, and he's going to be a junior in high school this year, so it goes real fast. You know, we're excited to welcome him back. So check out our website, go there, look at all that information, and if you can't find it, there's an Ask MCS button. Send us an email, and we'll help get to the information you need.
Then when it comes to next week, those kindergarten students, what is that day like at the school? Is it chaos? Because like you were saying, a lot of the parents have a tougher time with this than the kids themselves.
It's sweet. It really is one of the sweetest days to see the kids. They come out with backpacks that look like they're twice their size. They walk in. Some of them are frightened. Most of them are not. It's surprising how many of them just walk to class and think that they're just great. We have a lot of extra staff there for them that day. All of our district staff will be out at schools helping. So it's not like they're just dismissed and go find your room. There is someone walking with them, talking with them, making sure they're comfortable. It's actually one of the sweetest. It's one of my favorite days. I know it's hard as a parent, but as far as from my perspective, it's just it's just adorable to see those little kids. They're so excited to be in their rooms, and then they see their names, and you know, everything is great.
They feel like they're going into college.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think one of the questions we get a lot also is about our security measures and our safety, especially for new parents, you know, and they want to make sure their children are taken care of and are going to be okay in our building. And so I always like to emphasize to parents, both when I was a principal and in this role, you know, their child safety is our number one priority. We have a fantastic partnership with the Murfreesboro Police Department and their school safety division. We have SROs in every building every day, plus floaters, plus additional staff. We're excited this year that some of our schools will actually have two SROs in them because of the size of the buildings. So we are very well protected. I know that sometimes families, especially as they get used to our system, can maybe get a little frustrated with some of our security protocols, that we don't let people just walk down our hallways. You do have to be buzzed in. You can't just come into our school. But ultimately, that's about keeping our students safe. So if you have questions about your safety protocols or why we do things, you know, don't hesitate to reach out. But just know, if you do get a little frustrated with the fact that you can't just come in and go to your child's classroom, that's ultimately for your child's protection. But we are just so thankful for Murfreesboro Police Department and what they do to make sure that we're safe, and that so we as a school system can focus on educating students and they focus on helping make sure that we're safe.
And of course, school safety is one of, I would say, one of the very biggest changes that has been made over the last 20 years or so. I mean, there used to be a time where parents could literally show up at the school, walk right in, go straight to the classroom without even stopping at the office. I mean, there were days like that, believe it or not, that used to occur, but that's just not the case anymore at all.
Yeah, not at all. And again, it's, you know, different times, but again, we want our students to be focused on learning. And so we put those procedures and those protocols in place to help make sure that that happens. So, you know, we call it hardening our schools. It's not easy to get into our schools, and it shouldn't be. So you're going to need that ID. You're going to need to make sure that if you're coming in, you're on the enrollment packet that's been filled out. It says you're allowed to come in. Our school is going to have certain times where they dismiss students. All that is because we want to make sure we know who's coming in and going out of our buildings every day to make sure we're safe.
Again, we have Murfreesboro City Schools Director Trey Duke in studio with us today, along with Lisa Trail, the Communications Director for the City Schools. And we're talking about schools starting back up. We'll be right back right after this break.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time. At least match their prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This morning we're talking about the City of Murfreesboro school system, and we have the school's director, Trey Duke, with us today, and also Lisa Trail, communications director. And once more, school's half day tomorrow, and then you skip a day, and then coming back for the first full day, what, Friday?
That's right, Friday's it. So expect those drop-off lines, parents, to take just a little bit longer on tomorrow and Friday, and the bus routes may be a little bit extended, so just give us some grace there. It's always these first couple days working things out, making sure that as we get our students in our system, we want to make sure everyone gets home safely, so we're going to be extra cautious the next couple days. So if your child's delayed a few minutes getting off the bus, if that bus is a few minutes late picking them out, just be picking them up, be ready. And then for those parents in the pickup line, again, it may take a little bit longer, and then a little longer next week when those kindergarten students come in, mm-hmm. that we have to put them in the cars and get them out. But we'll get rolling pretty quickly and get our processes down really great.
Yeah, and don't worry about the tardies, because if it's our fault, it's okay. Because I always get parents going, but they're going to be tardy the first day. I'm like, well, you were in line. We saw you. You know, please don't roll in on two wheels, but just give us a little time. And it's surprising, like just 30 seconds extra per child adds up and makes for those lines to be a little bit longer than what we're used to. Again, when you're on those roads like Rutherford, when you go by Black Fox, just be aware that there's going to be a backup. And we get that through the school year, it'll go away within a week or so. But that first few days, you'll see a little backup on that. Same thing with some of our other schools where there's just not that huge line to get out.
And for those who are driving, you know, in the area of different schools, especially starting next week, the times that schools let out at the end of the day, what times? Because I know the mornings was 7:30 mm-hmm. to 8:30. So in the afternoon, so what are we?
Afternoons 2:30 to 3:30. 2:30 for, I'll try to do these. 2:30 is Siegel, Hobgood, Overall Creek, Salem.
Irma Siegel.
Did I not say Irma Siegel? I'm sorry. Okay. And then I do better with my 8:30 schools. let me do the 8:30. So 8:30 to 3:30 is Black Fox Hobgood. No, Black Fox Bradley, John Pittard. Northfield is a 2:30 school. I had to kind of go around the city. Can you tell how I'm doing this in my head? And then
Case and Lane is
3:30. Case and Lane pre-K is 3:15, just a little bit different to try to keep the traffic moving again. So if you have questions, it's on our website as far as when, and you'll see the flashing lights start going up. Those crossing guards will be out there, so watch for them. Be patient with them. They're trying to get a bunch of us through as well. And of course, you'll have the same thing when you go to the Rutherford County schools or the other schools where you'll see the crossing guards out.
In Rutherford County, their school system, their start time, end time, their school year, mm-hmm. it's all on a similar schedule to the city schools, right?
Yeah, their start and end times are a little different, just like they do the same thing as we do. You have to look at your traffic. You have to look at, we do double busing. So that's the reason for that 7:30 and 8:30 is so that our bus drivers can drop off at a 7:30 school and then go straight to an 8:30 school and start their pickup. Rutherford County looks at the similar thing. Start dates are the same this year.
All of our, we usually say our major dates, we try and make sure match that first day of school, Christmas, winter break, fall break, all of that, because we do have families that have students in both systems, and so we try and do that for our families and make those major dates match. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's some differences throughout the school year because we're just looking at elementary, so we are not having to build schedules around middle and high school, so we have a little more flexibility there, but major dates are going to match, so both systems are going to see that half day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Again, talking about Murfreesboro City Schools and going back to school safety, one of the big things that happens at, you know, school districts far and wide, issues dealing with child custody. And, you know, this parent has full parental rights, you know, the child lives with that parent, doesn't live with the other parent and so forth. How do you go about figuring out things like that in the beginning of the school year? Because I'm sure there are times where you have somebody who's not supposed to pick up the child show up trying to pick up the child.
Well, thankfully, the court system does that for us and gives us parenting plans, and we go by those parenting plans. So we work with those families, and we make sure that the great thing about technology is we can pull it up and see instantly who is on the pickup list and who's not on the pickup list. And so our attendants and our front office staff do a really good job of working through those issues. And again, those are one-on-one type conversations that they have with parents. But again, parenting plans are our friend.
And what we really want to encourage all of our families mm-hmm. to do is make sure that we have the most up-to-date information. So yeah. We never want to be put in a position as a school system where we're having to make decisions that aren't really clear when we're talking about a child. Mm-hmm. So if you are in that type of situation, please make sure that you have talked to your school. We have the most up-to-date information. That's what we want to go by. We want to do the right thing. We're going to always work to do the right thing. But not just in those situations, just across the board. Make sure you're email is up to date. Make sure your phone number is up to date. We are going to be pushing out a lot of information over the next couple weeks as we prepare to launch this school year and get started. We had open house last night. Of course, next week we'll start having parent room nights where families will come in and actually spend some time with their child's teacher. So you're going to want to get all that information. You're going to want to get Lisa's emails. You're going to want to get those phone calls. So the best thing parents can do is make sure we have all the most up-to-date information. We only have what you tell us, so make sure we have that.
And they can go into their parent portal, which we call, oh, it's just through Skyward, but it's their Skyward parent portal. They can update it. It's also where they're going to find out if their child is a bus rider, what bus they're riding, and what time the pickup is. So that's where technology really works well, in saying you go here and you tell us all the information we need to, and make sure that if you're putting in your phone number, it has a 615 or a 931 or whatever your area code is, because that's how we're going to communicate, is via your phone and via your email. So both of those need to be updated and checked often. But as far as buses, again, I'm going to say if your child is riding a bus, all of that is already in Skyward. People can log in and look and say, I'm riding bus 569 and my pickup is at this place and at this time. I will say for kindergarten bus riders, because we will start transporting kindergartners next week as well, for drop-off, parents will have to have their ID. So that is a security thing. They will have to have a photo ID so we know that you are the parent that is associated with this child. If there's another parent who's going to be picking that child up, or another, maybe it's a grandparent, that has to be on our file as well. So we do have those. And I always encourage people to say every year, look at who can pick up your child. Look who is on your pickup list. Don't just go from last year, but look and see if you have the right people to pick up your child. And the same thing happened, I'm sure, when you had children in school, same thing when I had children in school. Sometimes you just can't make it.
Yeah.
So who is your emergency pickup? And they need to be on that list, because we can't, you know, like change it for you. You need to have that in place.
You know, kids get sick, and there are times that we're going to be reaching out to families. A child gets sick at school. It happens. We need to contact you. If we can't get a hold of the guardian, then we're looking for that emergency contact. Who can we touch base to say, hey, Johnny's not feeling well. He needs to be picked up, right. And he needs to go home and rest.
And, you know, usually parents discover, oh, no, I forgot to update that.
Yes.
At the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
So now when it comes to school buses, I know it seems like around this time last year, we were talking about a national shortage of school bus drivers and it being a problem for a lot of school systems. Do you have enough school bus drivers today?
Yes.
Amazing.
We do. We are very blessed in that. I can't say enough about our transportation team. They have done a tremendous job of recruiting over the last 5 years. Again, our drivers drive two routes. We have the buses ready for them. They've done a wonderful job of recruiting and retaining and making sure we have great bus drivers as well as bus aides.
And one of the things we've seen is our bus ridership has gone up over the last few years. So we've averaged a little bit over a 10% increase every year in the amount of students who are actually using bus services. So we know we have more students than ever riding our buses every morning and every afternoon. So we are pleased to be fully staffed with our bus riders. Now, will tell you, we are always looking for new bus drivers and always hiring in the event that we have anyone that decides it's time for them to retire or they're sick. We like to have subs that are ready to drive because the buses have to roll every day. And so we really appreciate our team. But if you're interested in driving, if you want to be a bus driver, it is a great job. It's a fantastic job. Our drivers have aides on their buses so they can focus on driving, and our aides are taking care of keeping the students at the end of the day who are tired and excited in those seats and following the rules. But reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you
about
it.
And we train.
And we do train and test. And so, you can go from no experience to getting that license and ready to drive a school bus all within the Murfreesboro City School District.
So is that like considered a full-time job? Is it a part-time job? How does that work?
It is a full-time job. So our bus drivers do work for us. We don't contract out. It is a full-time job. It's a split shift, which I know sometimes can be a little difficult for some people, but for others it works really well. And so, yeah, full-time job. We encourage you to take a look at it.
And these bus drivers, they're starting their route. I guess they're getting up starting the bus up, getting
pretty
out
early.
There on the road?
Pretty much, sure.
5 a.m. or so. I mean, how early do some of them start?
Well, I'll tell you, I always joke, if I manage to get up early enough to go to the gym in the morning, I'll be coming back and I have to drive by Salem Elementary to get to my house, and I'll be driving back at 5 a.m. and those bus lights are flashing. They're doing those daily bus checks, the safety checks to make sure everything's running by 5 a.m. and they're hitting the road by 6.
Now, are there any other positions out there that the schools still need to hire for or need more help with? Substitute teachers? I mean, what is out there as we start this new school year?
We are interviewing substitute teachers now. Our HR department is. I was looking at our online applications yesterday as far as the job opportunities, and a lot of them are filled, which is really, really nice. But you can always go to our website and hit apply now, and it'll tell you the entire list of job openings that are out there. A lot of our nutrition team has been hiring over the summer, so they have a lot of their positions filled. I mean, I think we're going into the school year just in a great mode. But again, there's always people who choose to retire or choose to move or whatever. So if you go to our website and hit apply now, it will always show you the openings in our school district.
I will say, when it comes to substitutes, we're always hiring substitutes, mm-hmm. and I encourage families to really take a look at that, or grandparents. You can set your own schedule. There are kind of bonuses and some extra compensation if you work so many days a month. You can set your own schedule, and you can set your own school. So if you say, I'm a grandparent and I just want to sub at my grandchild's school and that's it, that's great. You can put that in the system. Or if you live on the west side of town and you only want to serve our west side schools, you can do that. Pick your days. It's fantastic. We're also looking for some interim positions for teachers that may be going out on maternity leave or have some scheduled absences throughout the year. So again, I really encourage our retired teachers to reach out to us. We'd love to have you come back and work for 20, 30 days while we have teachers on maternity leave. Always looking to fill those type of positions. But as Lisa said, go to our website or call our HR department and just see what's out there. We'd love to have you join the team.
I know we only have like 2 minutes left or so, but have you had some teachers who have been with the school system for like 50 plus years? I mean, there's always, it seems like one or two of them.
Well, I tell you, when I think about it, the longest serving employee I think we have right now is Larry Williford.
Yeah.
And Larry is over our maintenance department. And if you want to talk about knowing every square inch of our buildings and our property, he's the man. We do have several of our teachers who have been teaching 35 years, 40 years. I think we did a 40 year last year.
Larry's been with us over 40 years.
Yes, Larry was 40 last year. So 40, I guess 41 this year. We have a lot of those teachers who stay with us, and it just makes they're so great for our new teachers too, to have just that mentorship. And that's one of the things that our instruction department does really great for those new teachers. They give them mentors, so you have someone to reach out to and ask that question of, how did I do this, or how did you do that, or what's your recommendation? So we don't just put you in a classroom and say, okay, go teach. There's mentors.
I always think it's interesting when you have your own child and you're going to that parent-teacher conference, and then there's your teacher who you had. I guess
those
in some cases, and if somebody's been teaching for 40 years, you're probably seeing the grandchildren that classroom one day. Anyway, Murfreesboro City Schools, and again, starting that half day is tomorrow, then Friday is the first full day. And if anybody needs more information, again, what's the website?
It is cityschools.net, or if you want to go to your school specific website, it's the name of your school.net.
Sounds good. Again, talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools this morning with the school director, Trey Duke, and also Lisa Trail, the communications director of the city schools. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day.